friends. We are back with part two of our interview with Alex Hernandez, who takes us through the Alpha Company's prop house journey over the past 30 years, which is very exciting. I love to hear prop house stories. And he's going to just talk to us a little bit more about some fun things. And I'm just so grateful that he's here talking to us about his experiences. And a little side note before we jump into things, I'm decorating a movie on location. So these episodes are going to be the last two before a little break, and I just have to focus on my work. So enjoy and tune back in when we come back.
Since you have a lot of products that are specialized, do you find yourself needing more or less of anything specific? Like you were saying, the fake hearts, or maybe you guys do a lot of prosthetics on the side, or certain items that you would have to have more of because they go out more often, or EKG machines?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, the vital sign monitors are always a key point. Beds, of course, everybody has different ideas of the beds, if it's a period piece, if it's a bed that's modern day. Beds, EKG, IVs, all these are specific things. Of course, hand props play a big role too, because you got to have the proper tubing, IV tubing for the era. Mm-hmm. Again, I keep saying that because we're doing more and more movies and shows that are period pieces. Mm-hmm. More and more develop our flashbacks to the 1980s, 1970s. So we have to be in our top knowledge of when IV bottles turn from glass to plastic. Mm-hmm. In 1963, during the Vietnam War, they went from bottles to plastic because they were dropping it during the war.
Right.
They still carry some IV bottles you'll see in hospitals because they have certain antibiotics in them that are used better for glass. But they often say, give me bottles, but you're doing a 2020 or 2002 because nobody really knows when did they move from IV bags from IV glass. You know,
ooh.
So specific things of that nature, you know, you got to be on it. The tubing that goes in the bottle, was it opaque or was it clear?
Mm-hmm.
So, and these little things people don't realize, but when they're ready to shoot it, and then the producer or director or somebody gets a letter from them saying, hey, that's not the right way of doing it. And
yep.
Hopefully they don't get letters, but we try to prevent that and try to be as much knowledgeable as we can.
Yeah, that's true. I did a 1970s, technically it was 1960s and 1970s TV show. And we were getting harped on because some of the books on the shelf were from 1979 and it was supposed to be 1974. But ironically, the set was built out of MDF, which wasn't invented until after the 70s and wasn't
yes.
used and wouldn't have been used.
Wow.
So it's kind of funny, the learning moments.
It's funny. You get people who watch these things and want to be on their game, and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So a good way of getting away with, say you're doing a doctor's exam room
mm-hmm.
or a third world country hospital,
mm-hmm.
and they say, isn't those machines old? Isn't those beds older than what you're shooting? Well, the answer to that could be this. In the industry, when you're doing a doctor's office, a doctor will buy his equipment when he first starts.
Mm-hmm.
He never changes it as much. So starting from day one, if you go older, you're a lot safer than going modern into an older thing, because hospitals don't really interchange their equipment for 10 years sometimes. So safer to go older on the beds, older on walls, and you're okay, because your answer could be, well, they're not changing it every year. So you're safer to go with a little era before that to cover yourself. Better to go older than it was newer in a third world country. You're susceptible to whatever you could get your hands on.
Oh, yeah.
If it's old or new. And so the era of going backwards is a little easier in the department, you know.
That's a great little history lesson about hospitals too. Just that they
yes.
don't change out their equipment as often.
Yes.
For people who are doing a lot of hospital sets. Do you remember what the very first product that Alpha started with? Like one of the very first inventory pieces that they had?
Yes, I do. When Alpha started, we had one desk and two chairs. So we sat at the desk, Frank Euclid, the CEO, who's still part of the CEO with us, was looking at me and said, what do we do next? But it was an image of what we're trying to get started. We had a very loyal old customer call us, and she wanted an X-ray view box. We didn't have one. So I looked on the Yellow Pages at that time. We didn't really have Google much. We did have computers, but it was quick to go into the Yellow Pages. I found a medical facility that sold X-ray view boxes. I ran down there and used my credit card to buy a $45 X-ray view box, came back and rented it to her for $20. And then that X-ray view box went out over and over again. And then 2 weeks later, so now we have an X-ray view box in our arsenal. And if you look at Alpha now, we have such a big magnitude of equipment. We need it. A lady comes in and hands us a $10,000 check. Her name was Gay. She was one of the, I wish I knew where she was now, but she's not in the industry, and says, I need a 4-bay ICU room and two hallways. Here's $10,000 cash. So that's where I got that $10,000 cash and went to Queen of Angels that was closing down and got those gurneys and everything.
Wow.
So I used the $10,000 to give it to the administrator. And when the administrator saw all this cash, she immediately says, take what you think you need. I got the equipment and we dressed her set. And then that equipment went back to our stock and then it just kept rolling over. But we didn't have the capital to buy a lot of equipment at the time. So we depended on decorators to say, here, make it happen. Mm-hmm. And we just had to be creative. And by chance, that hospital was closing down. And sometimes when you approach somebody and you have a check or cash, sure, take it. But as I mentioned before, they wanted to make sure that we took the patients off the gurneys before we took them in.
Yeah.
I just said, I'll wait. But that's how we started, with one X-ray view box.
That's and amazing.
And of course, good blessing. And it all worked out. Everything's worked out good.
Yeah. The film industry does tend to throw money to make things happen. Well, throw money at it. Is it a problem here? Throw money at it. We don't have time.
Exactly. And you might ask, how do you get all this new equipment? How do you afford buying all these EKG monitors that are $5,000 to $15,000 a piece, maybe even cheaper? Well, we've tapped into an industry called product placement. Product placement used to work in two ways. There are companies that do product placement. That's their main revenue. They approach production companies and says, I could give you Coca-Cola, or I could portray Pepsi can on a bar, or I could give you different beers in a bar set.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have the authorization from the actual vendor to provide that under an agreement that they would provide, say, $15,000 for product placing that image.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of big companies go with that because they get exposure in the industry. And they're willing to pay for that as part of their marketing venue, correct? So product placements work within the perimeters of working with vendors and getting paid to display their products in certain movies and commercials. Well, what I did is I was getting approached by a couple of product placement people saying, hey, I have these new EKG monitors that I would love to give to you to show on different shows. Well, I'll take them. I said, yes. So we've in turn provided that excellent new EKG monitor to a decorator and a director with a new product. But at the same time, that product placement company was meeting up to their contractual agreement that they're putting their product on a major show or a television show or a commercial.
Yeah.
So we were almost like the middleman person.
Right.
You know, we were giving them their contract and they're getting the money.
Mm-hmm.
We in turn are getting the product and making the decorator happy because we're giving them a new product. So it was like a win-win situation.
Yeah.
If you think about it. So what I did is I took the initiative and I start contacting these vendors directly and asking for the vice president of marketing and then explaining to them what we do here at Alpha and how we can provide the same marketing exposure to their product at no cost. So they're saying, what do you mean no cost? Aren't we paying you to expose our equipment? I said, no, you get me the equipment and I'll put it on the shows, but all I do need is the equipment and we will do this for you. Now, we do charge a small handling fee because, you know, we have to clean it. We have to box it. We have to put it on the set. When it comes back, we have to check the equipment to make sure it's not damaged in any way. Mm-hmm. And if it is damaged, we have to pursue the production company for loss and damages.
Makes sense.
There's no legwork on your end. So very big reputable companies took a chance on us and said, here are two monitors. Tell me what you could do with it. Well, that two monitors turned into six monitors and so forth. Cabinets, Pixis cabinets are all over television in labs and EKGs. Anytime you see something big, you'll see their cabinets in the background. Mm-hmm. So I've lived up to my obligation to that vendor that I will try to give them as much exposure as possible. I will try. And they've been very, very happy with us because now they're saying, hey, that monitor I sent you or the vital site thing is kind of obsolete now. Let me give you something new. And then they will trade in the old with the new.
That's awesome.
So we've developed a very big relationship with, again, a business relationship with these vendors. And it's all about friendship. You got to prove that you're going to give what you said you try to do. You send them photographs. You try to send them still shots on YouTube of their bed in a hospital room. Still shot. So you've made them happy because now they can use it in their little marketing internal strategy. And they made us happy because we were able to get something newer. Mm-hmm. And it made the production company happy because they're getting something that is really top of the end, clinically clean.
Yeah.
So you cannot really start a business and in this type of arena without putting out a lot of money on new equipment. So the best way to do it is, how can I get that equipment at a savings of a cost? Mm-hmm. How can we get that equipment without having to go and get a loan for that one anesthesia machine that's $25,000?
Right.
And then you try to rent it for 10%, you'll be paying at least 9 to 10 years on that rental before you start making a profit.
Yep.
So you have to kind of start challenging yourself and approaching these big vendors and telling them, what can we do for you? Not as much that what you could do for us. What can I want to give you this exposure. What do you think about that? And a lot of them are so open to it because there's no money out of their pocket.
Right. It makes sense.
And it's just a way of them, everybody working within its perimeters. You're making everybody happy all the way down the line.
Yeah.
And they're getting the best exposure possible without having to pay that fee of exposure. That's just another way of doing things.
Yeah, that's a really great point because you guys are so medical heavy with a lot of your inventory, so that stuff gets so expensive. And so being able to problem solve that with product placement is really clever.
Yeah, and then the upkeep of the EKG. The EKG falls. There goes the monitor. Mm-hmm. And then you have to try to say, oh my gosh, you don't want to give the production a very big L&D because then now you get a little tainted with large L&Ds.
Yeah.
Producers don't like that look. What do you mean it's costing $15,000 for this machine?
Yeah.
And it comes always back to the poor decorator and her crew of a large L&D.
Yeah.
So we try hard to work with them so that everybody's happy at the end of the day.
Yeah, no one likes L&D.
Nobody likes L&D.
Across the board, we all hate it. You guys, us, our producers, it is not popular with anyone.
Exactly. And I don't want to be the person to call them and say, hey, remember that desk that desk is 1917. It's irreplaceable. It's your L&D is $10,000. And they're like, whoa. So you don't want to be in that position. So we try hard to fix it or have it fixed at a very minimum cost. We try hard to try to do things within our own staff to make it look proper again so that we don't take advantage of just a hard L&D.
Right.
Because it's not way to develop a good relationship with anybody.
Yeah. And then for anyone who's listening that doesn't know what L&D is, it's the loss and damage of an item that might have gotten messed up on set due to rushing to change a set or something. It just is the price of what the replacement of the item is. And that's what loss and damage is. L&D.
And I apologize. I should explain that as well.
Oh, no, no, no. I try to break it down to the most basic bare minimum, because sometimes there's terminology that certain people don't know. And there's even things that come back around that are regional that I don't know. So yeah. I always try to remember, and I have a hard time because I'm like, yeah, L&D, PC, P card, blah, blah, blah. And I just try to break it down. So in case there's anyone that didn't know what that was.
And my thinking is this, if anybody in the industry is trying to get started, anybody in the industry who's thinking about getting into the decorating part, the prop part, the producing part, same goes with all these companies that provide schooling or universities, the prior school. I'd say now is the best time to get into it. Mm-hmm. The industry has not changed much. It's gotten even better. This is a moment to take that step. Yeah. There's always a door open in this for something for somebody mm-hmm. in there. And it, you know, I don't discourage this. People say, would you do this again? I would definitely do this again. If I had to go back in time 30 years and they say, would you have stood as a fire paramedic or something of that nature? I would never not taken that step with Frank or anybody else here. So it's always been a perfect thing for my situation. And it could be for anybody out there trying to make this step in the movie industry or television. Now's the time to do it. There's never a bad time to start in the industry.
That's a really lovely sentiment. And I'm really glad that you have that perspective. And I'm going to skip a question and ask you this one because it kind of ties in. But when you guys hire new staff members, what's one quality that you look for?
I think personality. Mm-hmm. Our major goal is communication, personality. It would be nice to have some medical background, mm-hmm. but it's not a prerequisite. They could always learn when they're here.
Definitely.
But that bubbly personality, that welcome smile, that person that would be willing to take it another step. They don't just come here and at 5 o'clock clock out and go home. They take that problem with them in their head. So the next morning when they come, they have answers for that decorator. So personality plays a big part in this industry. Again, going back to our first conversation, you always meet the same people somewhere else in the industry. That same decorator is doing another show, and another show. So if you could keep that person energetic with you and engaged so that when she comes back or he comes back, they ask for you. Mm-hmm. Hey, you did really well for me on this last show. Love to use you again. Mm-hmm. And if you could implant that on anybody we hire, that's the name of the game. So yes, friendly personality plays a big part in our industry.
Yeah, I feel like that crosses over to us too on the behind the scenes front, because when I hire someone, a lot of it will just be how they communicate with me. And if they're kind with the words that they're saying and we just can work together with a core starting foundation of we're going to be nice to each other, then I'm much more willing to hire someone of that capacity rather than if someone comes in and says, I know I can do all this. I'm really fast. I'm very knowledgeable. And then they're grouchy. I would rather have a better working experience where I'm happy to teach someone something over someone who knows, quote unquote, knows everything already, but has sort of a negative attitude about it.
Well said. Very well said. Because you're going to be tying a lot of hours with that person.
Yeah.
And
it's so much of your life.
You want to be able to click. Yeah. And you want it to be able to click. And there's going to be a lot of days in any job situation where you've had a hard day or a bad time mm-hmm. and you come to work with this chip on your shoulder. That goes with any job. But if you could engulf yourself with people and their personalities and friendship, half of the battle, you lose sight of what's been pressured on you for at least 8 to 10 hours, as long as your job is there. Definitely. And then it feels so much better. You're around people who care.
Absolutely.
That's what it's important.
Yeah, I know the film industry challenges you guys all the time. And one of the things that I think is always most challenging is the time crunches that we put you guys up against. And I was wondering if you guys ever struggle when getting those crazy last minute orders that get put in and you have to like last minute scramble to get the orders pulled. Does that ever happen and become a challenge?
More and more today. What is happening is getting back, the poor art department gets the breakdown maybe a day before. Mm-hmm. Maybe that night they get the rundown as to what they're going to be shooting for that day. Mm-hmm. So the art department is getting pressured that tomorrow we're moving into this room. Tomorrow we're going in the hospital. And they're getting this last minute pages for the next day's shoot. So they call us as a panic and says, oh, I was going to come see you a week ago, but now I need a hospital set, or they're going into an ICU. Can you put something together quick for me? Well, we're under the gun because we know they're under the gun. Mm-hmm. In the old days, we would have at least a week, maybe a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, because the decorator would get a breakdown of the show and say, oh, somewhere down in April, we're going to have a hospital room. Mm-hmm. Or in March, guess what? We're going to be in a hospital.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, it's turned all the way around. Guess what? We're in the hospital tomorrow.
Yep.
I'll be there first thing when you open. I'll have my truck there in the afternoon. We're dressing it that night. They're shooting it tomorrow. So we are in a crunch. We are very much susceptible to that part of the industry where we've been exposed to last minute things all the time.
Yeah.
The only downfall is when we get this last minute request to pull together a lot of product or a lot of equipment, and then they move the schedule again mm-hmm. on the decorator. And then the decorator has to be the person to call us and says, guess what? We moved that till next week. No need to rush. But we've rushed the whole day to have it ready for that truck. So we've been getting a lot of that where they get changed up on. So we have to be, we have to not get angry over it, but you know, we are starting to think really seriously about that. If we have to put product away, there's going to be a restock fee.
Absolutely.
Because we are taking away our manpower from other shows that are picking up 2 days from now to accommodate your needs. And all of a sudden you're changing it to next week. We have to provide a restock fee in order to, you know, let them know. And that's kind of good in a sense, because now the decorator or the art department has to let the producer know that there's
exactly.
a restock fee.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with us, the art department, to say. Mm-hmm. That would put a little more pressure on the producers to be calling these changes at the last minute.
Yep.
You know, now they're seeing a fee associated to what their decisions were. Hopefully that pans out to the better end of things. The producers will tend to say, oh, you're not getting charged? Oh, okay, good. And they'll take advantage of that over and over again. Once they start seeing bills come in,
exactly.
they start taking a second look as to moving the schedule around at the last minute.
Well, as a decorator from that standpoint, when you speak to your producers, the only thing that they hear is money. And I'm not saying that in a negative connotation, but you know,
but like, that's so true.
That is their job. That's the language that they speak. And that's the reason they have that job. For us, we're creatives. That's the language that we speak, is just very visual stuff and creatively. If you come to your producer and you say, we changed it and our prop houses pulled this order for us and we pulled off a miracle and didn't get charged, that means nothing to them. There's nothing that's attached to it. There's no ramifications for changing the schedule. There's no repercussions. So they don't hear anything. And it's not that they're sound deaf. It's just the language that they speak is money. So if they don't see money coming back for that change, then they're like, okay, we can make this change all the time. So I definitely.
Oh, yes. It's all about money.
Yeah.
I'll give you another quick example, if I may. We have a lot of shows that are actual medical shows. Mm-hmm. So they like to do a long-term production rental. They're going to be in the hospital off and on throughout their season,
right.
or they're going to be using certain equipment throughout. So instead of renting it every week, they ask for a long-term production rental. Mm-hmm. Well, we're always susceptible in doing that. We can't really charge you what every week would be, but we'll work out a special deal with them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we go to the very bare minimum of whatever that art department could really afford on their budget.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, the producer That's too much. Mm-hmm. Ask for less. That's too much. Ask for less. And the poor art department decorator has to call us and say, hey, you know what? Can you give us another big discount? Because the producer is not going for it. And we want to accommodate her, but at the same token, this equipment is being stored in a warehouse mm-hmm. or a stage and not being used. And that's revenue on our end that we could be renting that stuff weekly. So we always hear from the producers, that's not enough money. It's all about the money for them. So they often renegotiate a production deal. And those are becoming more and more advantage for us money-wise, because we are taking a much bigger hit, mm-hmm. A much larger revenue loss, because it's product that we cannot have in-house in order to rent at the full market value.
Absolutely.
So as you said, producers, it's all about at the end of the day, did they come under their budget?
Yeah.
And did the show go over budget? Did the show, you know, it's all about the money, as you said. Mm-hmm. And it's getting, on another token, it's getting really hard for the art department, from the art director to the decorator, to do their imagination to make a scene look good. Because mm-hmm. they're giving you guys a last-minute pull, a last-minute thing. Decorators are blessed with an eye of creating, mm-hmm. An eye of showing a beautiful canvas. They're given a blank canvas, and they have to create a beautiful piece of art. It's getting harder and harder for them to develop that piece of art when this last minute changes. Mm-hmm. So they're just throwing out there enough to make it look halfway good, like mm-hmm. a street venue of a bunch of things. And it's becoming so hard for them to be creative and show their expertise because of these, again, last minute changes in the schedule.
Absolutely.
And it becomes so very difficult for people to be very creative in their art when things are under the gun like that.
That's so very true. I'm hoping that we see a difference. There's got to be a point where we like turn a corner at some point. But I'm hoping for that. I will always.
It will one day. Yeah. Once it starts giving you a little bit more time frame to get your creative juices going again. Everybody will take, instead of getting that one desk, they're going to go with this desk because it looks more appropriate. Instead of coming in with the truck and crew right behind them saying, mm-hmm. just give me that desk.
Those because tag and drags.
The drivers are here. Yeah. Tag and drags. And just like you said, and now they're frustrated. The poor decorator's frustrated because now she can't really do what she really wants to do and create what she really wants to create.
Yeah. And I feel like with this pandemic, we've seen such a different face of the challenges. I know for the film industry, it's reshaped a lot of things and how things look for us. And did you guys face any challenges over the pandemic for you as a company?
Yes. We had shut down on March 20th, 2020, as with a lot of other production companies. From day we were called in and we had a shutdown because everybody else did as well. So we donated all our gloves, all our PPE equipment, our gloves, our masks, our goggles. Wow. We donated all our surplus of disposables to the local hospitals, to the police stations, to the police officers. We just went all out because we wanted to contribute to the community.
Yeah.
Well, with that said, we were off work. Slowly but surely, the industry started setting up a structure of COVID protocols, and they started coming back. Well, needless to say, we had no mask, no gloves, no thing. And we were structured where we would buy our supplies. We were given allotted. We were only able to get 5 pair of boxes of gloves. 10 gloves, because they still need it because of this COVID thing. So we had nothing to offer, even on our end. But we are still proud that we gave all our stuff because it at that time, they needed it. And with that said, again, we had to restructure our returns, our shipping. We had to sterilize everything. We had to make sure everything was wrapped. We had to make sure that we followed strict guidelines mm-hmm. for COVID on linen. I mean, an actress would get in the bed. I had to do, during that time when it was really bad, we would have to send out 4 sets of IV tubing, because when the prop person opened the bag of the IV tubing and put it on the actor for day one, the actors or actor wanted to see that bag open again with a new one.
Wow.
When it all was touching their skin.
Wow.
And then a new one. So the prop person had to buy a dozen IV tubings and IV bags just for that one scene, because once the bag was opened. So yeah, we had a lot of challenges in that respect. The industry was slow to come back, very slow. We've only had a couple of shows that really took the incentive of wanting to come back, because time again was money. And a lot of these people are losing a lot of money. The actors are getting tied up. It was falling into a different schedule, so the actors were obligated to other shows. So they were losing their actors along with everybody else.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we had a lot of challenges. Things are somewhat coming back to normal, not all the way. There's still a lot of protocols where you guys have to be followed. You have to get tested constantly. When you're group A, maybe 3-4 times a day. How group A is when you're close to the actor. You have to get tested once a week if you're group B on the set, or group C when you're really just outside coming in and out. So a lot of protocols have been set up in lieu of that COVID thing. And in our end, there was a lot of people didn't want to touch the props because they wanted to make sure it was sterilized.
Wow.
And so a lot of challenges, to say the least.
Yeah, definitely. That's impressive. Well, that was a very generous thing that you guys did. And I just want to say thank you for your contribution to the community, because that's a really beautiful thing. That's my favorite thing to come out of the pandemic, is seeing when people come together. Like that. Is there anything else that everyone listening should know about Alpha that you feel?
You know, with that said, it's just that, you know, we're here to help from the lowest budget to the biggest budget. Because our theory is that you walk in as a new decorator, has no money, $5. I mean, I'm getting people who says, I need a bed, a monitor, IV. They give me a whole list, a laundry list of things. And then they pop at me and they say, I have $200 for all this stuff. We're willing to work with you. And our belief is this. You do a low-budget film today, you'll do a bigger budget later, and you'll remember us. That impression you get when they're at the ground level is going to carry when they become the best and the best. So with that said, we're always here to help. Alpha's always has that door open for anybody on any budget. Come on in. We're never going to discourage you. We'll try our hardest to work within your budget framework. And again, you'll get that smile and that friendly hello from us all the time.
That's so perfect and such a beautiful sentiment. So thank you so much, Alex, and our friend Rob, who has not been speaking, but did all this setup and coordinating with me for this episode. I also want to say thank you to him, because he did put a lot of time into this as well. So I want to say thank you to both you guys.
He's great. And we thank you again for this opportunity.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. You guys take care.
And that was our guest, Alex Hernandez. And I just want to thank Alpha once again. Thank you, Alex, again. And thank you, Rob, for getting us all set up. I really appreciate you guys. It's been lovely having you on. And I really love hearing your stories. And this is our last episode for a little while. So thank you guys for listening. Thanks for coming in and hanging out. If you haven't already, follow us on Instagram. It's Go for Set Tech Podcast. And if you feel so inclined to write us an email, I always love hearing from everyone who listens. And our email address is goforsetdeckpodcast@gmail.com. I really appreciate all of you guys. And I hope that everyone is doing weird things, enjoying their life, and finding things that fascinate them. So be an exceptional human today, tomorrow, all the days. Goodbye.